Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Parental wartime deployment can be distressing for any child, and it's regardless of their age. When a child suffers developmental delays or mental anguish in addition to their parents being deployed, this can put an increased pressure on the entire family. And we're talking about recognizing the importance of mental health care for military children and their families. My guest is Dr. Beth Ellen Davis. She's a developmental behavioral pediatrician at the University of Washington Center on Human Development and Disability. Welcome to the show, Dr. Davis. Speak about military children, what they go through anyway, and then kind of piling on whether they need additional mental health care.
Thank you very much, Melly, for addressing this really important topic. And we feel that this last decade that has been full of war and combat deployment of parents required really new insight, new understanding of what military families experience on a day-to-day basis, but especially around combat deployments and what those effects are on children.
So, I mean, I can only imagine. I leave to go to the grocery store and my kids are, when are you going to be back? So when there's that whole fear and all over the media, and the wars and the killings and these things, how do you envision mental health to be so important for children? What do you think that should be done? There should be like regular counseling. What is it you're proposing? What would you really like to see?
We have learned so much about the effects of stress in the last decade in general and how it affects all ages of children. What we know about parental combat deployment is that a child experiences that as one, separation, and two, as danger. They pick up from their at-home parent that this is a something dangerous is going on and that one of my parents is not here. And so really a lot of the recommendations that pediatricians should have, one should be to have every, just as we would have in any situation of separation, when you go to the grocery store, you say, Mommy, you'll be right back, or when it's dinner time, I will be home. And so helping a child to understand that separation, how long that separation is, or that they're going to be okay with the separation, that Daddy's home or Mommy's home, the other parent is here to help while one parent is missing. And then to also understand that children experience danger as fear, and that fear needs to be supervised. There's typical fear, which is appropriate. So when, you know, a barking dog is kind of growling, we're supposed to step back. So that's a typical kind of fear. And then there's kind of tolerable fear, which is more fear that we have to kind of help somebody through. For example, when a child has to get blood drawn. And what we wanted to do in a new clinical report to all pediatricians in the United States was help them understand, are you seeing maybe fear that's excessive fear? Are you seeing fear that this child isn't tolerating this deployment well, that they're not dealing with the typical stress or the typical separation in a healthy way? In those settings, we do feel that children would benefit, and their parent, the parent and the child would benefit from additional counseling to help contain that fear, to help make it more appropriate responses. Sometimes it's just to help the at-home parent deal with their own anxiety and fear around the situation, because the child picks up on the cues of the parent most of the time.
Well, of course they do. And when we're calm, our children tend to be more calm. When we panic, they panic. Do you let your child see the news? Do you keep them away? I mean, in these counseling sessions, are we being told as parents, you know, if you've got a spouse that's overseas and there's been a siege, there's been a bombing, do you not let your children hear about this because that will only increase the worry? Do you discuss it?
That's an excellent question. And in this age of technology, so many aspects of media connections has helped military families, like being able to Skype with their loved one overseas. But there is some situations where we've now started embedding reporters on the battleground that children are perhaps seeing information that they don't understand or that may not be related to their loved one. And so we're recommending that parents supervise television media exposure when possible so that they can have a conversation about that afterwards and make meaning of what it is that they've seen, rather than kind of letting, you know, flying off the handle and not sure what is my parent exposed to. And for adolescents, that's especially difficult because they can access media or the internet on their own. And so it's especially important for adolescents who are experiencing a parent deployment or military separation or just the stress of being in the military, that parents sit down and kind of, you know, rehash the day and talk with their adolescent about their feelings.
Well, and I think one good thing that goes on today, Dr. Davis, is Skype, because now you can actually Skype your parent that's in the military, because, you know, and I've seen that go on a bunch where, you know, no matter how far away they are, they could occasionally Skype. And so you can see that. Is that increase the missing, or does that kind of help it?
Well, parents have actually weighed in on that, and there have been some surveys done for parents. And, you know, it kind of comes down as an even balance. Most families like the ability to connect at least by email instead of just by letters, the old-fashioned snail mail. They like to be able to connect. What is stressful for them is when they get disconnected because the service line, and they don't know why they've been disconnected, and it might be 24 hours before they get reconnected, and that time can be very stressful for families. So it kind of goes both ways.
I would think so. I hadn't thought about that. Do children, we only have a minute left, but a minute and a half, do children have a sense of time?
You know, again, the idea that we think all children are affected by stress in general, they have affects differently. We know that all children experience time developmentally a little differently. And so we think that the preschool age child doesn't really kind of knows here and now. Daddy is or mommy is not here now, but they'll be here later. Whereas the older school age child can understand a calendar or perhaps special dates that after which daddy or mommy will be returning, and that those tend to be very helpful in anticipatory guidance.
My niece used to say, after my next nap. So, you know, and then that was how she was gauging time. So in the last 30, 45 seconds, wrap up the mental health care needs and the importance of this for military children and their families.
I would just wrap up by saying that we know a lot in this last 10 years, and we've learned a lot. And there are a lot of resources for primary care providers to help families, for families themselves, and for individuals, even camps for children in the military when they might be the only child in a neighborhood who has a parent in the military. And we've learned a lot about resources for traumatic experiences when parents return from war, either injured or with, you know, a casualty perhaps. So it's important that providers and families learn about these resources, and those have just been released in a clinical report in the Pediatrics Journal this month. So I think we have a lot to offer families, and I can think of no better way, as myself a parent, as a retired military person, and a pediatrician, to honor our service members than to take good care of their children.
Absolutely. What a great ending. We have to take care of their children because they are taking care of us, and it is a great honor, and it should be our honor to do that. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Stay well.